We'll begin our reading at John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 17. Let's hear the word of God. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." We thank God for the reading of his word. This evening, a message comes from these verses in John chapter 11 concerning the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Raising of Lazarus. And particularly this evening, we're looking at the actual resurrection of Lazarus, which we find in verses 38 to 44. Verses 38 to 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. Now, there's many questions that we would love to have answered concerning the raising of Lazarus. We'd like to know, where was Lazarus's soul in between his death and Jesus raising him from the dead? We don't know the answer to that. We'd like to know, why was it that Lazarus's body did not decay in the tomb during those 4 days? Because Martha certainly expected there to be a very bad odour when the stone was taken away from the tomb. So what happened to that natural, sad process of decay? We'd love to know how Jesus did it. But the Bible doesn't give us any answers to those questions. All that we read in John's Gospel here is the fact that it happened. That's it. But there is something else. We do have an explanation of why it happened. And that's what I want to bring to you this evening. An explanation as to why Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And this is vital for us to understand, for 2 big reasons. The first big reason is it will help us to understand why Jesus does not raise our loved ones from the dead today. And that's very important. It's the same answer that we give, for instance, when someone is blind and we say, "Jesus gave sight to blind people. Why doesn't he do it for our loved one?" It's the same answer we give when somebody is seriously ill and paralyzed. And we say, "Jesus cured paralyzed people. He told them to walk. Why doesn't he do it for my loved one?" So these are really important questions to have answered. And in this passage, we have the answer to that. Why did Jesus raise Lazarus, but he doesn't raise my brother, my mother, my friend? This is very important. The other reason it is vital that we understand why Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead is so that we might believe in Jesus. The understanding why Jesus did this will and should help us to have a firm and confident faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I give you some reasons there as to why I believe that this message is vitally important for us in our days, especially as both of those issues are challenged by many. There are some who say, well, if you become a Christian, then surely Jesus will perform miracles for you, and he'll always make you well again, and he can perform these great things. There are even those who believe that Jesus will raise dead people from the dead today. He won't, and we need to be very clear about these things. And there are also those who say, well, don't believe in Jesus because it's not true. Well, this is one incident that reminds us just who Jesus is. We find that actually very few people have been raised from the dead. I think that's important to say that. Very few people have been raised from the dead. You find in the Old Testament that God enabled Elijah and Elisha to each raise one person from the dead. And then you find in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus himself is only recorded as raising 3 people from the dead. You compare this with the fact that he healed hundreds and hundreds of people, but he only raised 3 people from the dead. And we can see why he did it if we think about who they were. First person was a young girl. A young girl. And he raised her from the dead. Jairus' daughter. Now she had just died. Very, very, very soon after she died, Jesus arrived at the house. Jairus' daughter. You read about that in Mark chapter 5. And then the second person who's raised from the dead was a widow's son. And so he would have been a young man. Jairus' daughter was a teenager, wasn't she? This widow of Nain's son would have been a young man, possibly in his 20s or his 30s. And he had been dead for some time, but possibly only about 24 hours, because he was on his way to the tomb, Luke chapter 7. And then the third person who's raised from the dead is Lazarus, and as we read, he had been 4 days dead. So Jesus is showing that he is able to raise people from the dead, no matter what their age, what their gender, or how long they have been dead. So it's quite clear why Jesus would choose 3 specific people to raise from the dead. We also find that there are a number of people who were raised from the dead at the Lord Jesus' crucifixion. And we find that in Matthew chapter 27. There's an earthquake and many holy people who had died were raised from the dead. And after Jesus' resurrection, they then went into Jerusalem and appeared to people. So that is a demonstration of the power of the cross, which we'll come to later on. Then as you go on in the New Testament, you only find 2 other people being raised from the dead. Just as Elijah and Elisha, the 2 great prophets of the Old Testament, were enabled to raise 1 person from the dead each, so the 2 great apostles of the New Testament, Peter and Paul, also raised 1 person from the dead each. And Peter, it was Dorcas, remember, in Acts chapter 9. Paul, it was Eutychus, the young man who fell out of the 3rd floor window and died. And then Paul came down and embraced him, and he was brought back to life again. So that's it. We don't find any more than that. So they're not many altogether. Why not? Wouldn't we like to see more of this? Wouldn't we love to see it today? Perhaps with our own loved ones. But we don't see it because it's not in the purposes of God. And specifically, we need to understand why it is that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Because this is the longest explanation that we have of the resurrection of someone who had died. And there are many reasons. I want to bring you 3 great reasons from these verses. The first reason, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead to demonstrate that he is both God and man. Jesus is both God and man in one person. The resurrection of Lazarus shows us who Jesus is, and it draws us to him that we might have faith in him. This chapter, more than any other, demonstrates that Jesus is unique. He has a divine nature and he has a human nature, and they are perfectly united in one person. We see here in these verses the humanity of the Lord Jesus in his sympathy. You see how sympathetic he is to these 2 sisters, Mary and Martha. We see the awfulness of death and its terrible consequences. We see the pain that the separation causes. We see its sorrow and its deep grief. And Jesus experienced all of this just as we do. So when he comes to the home of someone he loved, and that someone has been taken in death, Jesus is deeply moved by this. He sees the results and the consequences of sin. He sees that we're living in a fallen world. Every time this is a reminder of what the Lord God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. On the day that you eat of it, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And it's a reminder every single time that we come to the home of mourning that this is true. Jesus knew that the great enemy of souls is the devil. And he also knew that he had come in order to destroy this work of the devil. And we see Jesus' humanity. Verse 38, deeply moved. That's Jesus. We see it back there in verse 33. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And we see it in verse 35, Jesus wept. In his sympathy with this little family in Bethany, Jesus, his heart went out to them in deep and genuine grief. We also see his humanity in his understanding of people. Jesus understood this little family. He understood Martha. He understood that this lovely, believing lady shifted even in a few moments from a period of solid faith to a time when she was shakily doubting. And it depended really on whether Martha's mind was focused on Jesus or whether her mind was focused on her brother. When her mind was focused on the conqueror of death, Jesus himself, she had faith. But when her mind went towards her dear brother, who had died and was now lying cold in the tomb, then she became very shaky in her faith. And Jesus understood this, and he had great tenderness with her. Have a look at verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. That's faith, isn't it? She had a marvelous faith in God and in Jesus. And then verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. That's great faith, isn't it? Wonderful. But then you hear her in verse 39, but Lord, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. She's beginning to become shaky. She has to be strengthened in her faith again. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? See, it depends on where her focus is. While she's thinking about Jesus, she's strong. Thinking about the reality of the situation, she's weak. We identify with that. Jesus understands that. Our Savior is just as sympathetic and just as understanding today as he was then. He understands your situation. He knows what we go through. And he was very understanding of Lazarus as well. How would Lazarus feel when he came out of the tomb? What would his immediate needs be? Well, he wouldn't want to be caught up in the crowd asking questions. So Jesus simply says, take off the grave clothes. Let him go. Let him go. He cares about Lazarus, just as he cared about Jairus' daughter and told them to give her something to eat, because he knew that after a period of having a fever and then dying, she would be very hungry when she woke up. So he says, give her something to eat. Jesus cares, you see, about the details, the little things. But it's not just his humanity that comes out here. It's also his divinity, his prayer. When you and I pray, Jesus tells us to pray our Father in heaven. But when Jesus prays, he simply says, Father. Do you see that in verse 41? Jesus looked up and said, Father. Because the Lord Jesus has a special relationship with God the Father. He is his Father supremely in a different way than he is our Father. And he says, you always hear me. You always hear me. God the Father always hears the prayers of the Son. That's marvelous, isn't it? God doesn't always hear our prayers. Sometimes our prayers are blocked by our sins and we ask for the wrong things and so on. Never with Jesus. Never with Jesus. His prayers are always heard. That is why we know that when we pray, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. So even our imperfect prayers, they do arrive at the Father's ears and they are heard because they come via Jesus. But he says, "You sent me." Jesus has this awareness of his relationship with his Father. And then we see his words. By his own authority, he simply goes to the tomb and he calls out, "Lazarus, come out." Now, everybody else has to ask God to raise someone from the dead. Everybody else has to incur the name of Jesus in order for someone to be raised from the dead. Peter, Paul, Elijah, Elisha, they pray. But Jesus commands, and there's a difference. He calls Lazarus out on his own authority and by his own power. He is able to give life to the dead. He's able to do it himself. He doesn't ask God to do it. He does it himself. Yes, he does pray, but as he tells us, that prayer is for the benefit of everybody standing there. It's not that he has to pray to his Father. He and his Father are working together in this glorious work of resurrection. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God, and he is also man in one person. That's one of the reasons why he raises Lazarus from the dead, so he can show that deep humanity as he shares in the grief of a grieving family. But powerful divinity as he stands and says, "Lazarus, come out." It's one reason, but there are others. Second reason, the Lord Jesus, in raising Lazarus from the dead, verifies his claim to be the resurrection. He verifies that claim to be the resurrection. You see, we read from the beginning of the chapter that Jesus, when he heard the news that Lazarus was dead, he stayed where he was for another 2 days. He deliberately stayed away. He waited until Lazarus had died. Why did he do that? Well, because he wanted to draw out Mary and Martha. He wanted to bring them to an understanding. He wanted to see God glorified in their lives. He wanted to show them that he is the great I am, that he is God. And that's why he said to Martha in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, if Jesus had not raised Lazarus from the dead, then those words would have simply been empty words, wouldn't they? He needed to demonstrate that. He needed to show that he really is the resurrection and the life. He needed to show that at his word, dead people are given life. And so that is why he goes to this tomb and he speaks the word, so that the voice of the Son of God can raise a man from his tomb, so that he walks out in full view of everyone. This is something that is impossible by human standards. It is against all human reason, but it is a working out of the mighty power of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is a life-giving Saviour. And we notice that he speaks it loudly, in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Not so that Lazarus could hear, but so that everybody around him could hear. So that everybody knew that this resurrection is a result of the voice of the Son of God. And why is that so important? Why is it so important to know that Jesus is the resurrection? Well, it's because of a claim that Jesus has made. It comes in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 28. Listen to this. "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. A time is coming when all who are in their graves, that's everybody, every single human being who has ever died, and that means everyone. One day it will mean us as well, if we are not still here when Jesus returns again in glory. Everyone who is in their graves one day will hear the voice of the Son of God, Jesus. And when they hear the voice of the Son of God, they will come out of their graves. Jesus here in this chapter, chapter 5, and verse 28 and 29, is claiming that he himself one day will give the word, and everyone who has ever died will be raised from the dead. Everyone. Everyone in any grave, anywhere in the whole world. If that is in the middle of the ocean, or if it's in the soil, if it's been cremation, whatever it might be, everyone will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come out. That's the claim of the Lord Jesus. Everyone will receive a resurrection body that can never, ever die again. But the resurrection will either be to eternal life, or it will be to eternal condemnation. And what is it that determines whether someone hears the voice of Jesus, comes out of their grave, receives a brand new glorious body, and is taken into the new heaven and new earth to worship God and Christ forever and ever? Or someone hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and receives a new resurrection body, but that resurrection body is only fit for eternal punishment in hell. What is it that makes a difference? Well, Jesus says here, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So what does this mean then? As long as we've lived a good life, we'll be all right. If we've lived an evil life, we won't. Well, yes, but we need to understand what the good and the evil really is. Verse 24 of John 5. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. That is what it means to live a good life. If you are to do good in your life, then it begins, and it must begin, with you hearing the word of Jesus and believing in him. Only then will you receive this eternal life. It's not about doing good works, because the good work that God requires is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can do to gain heaven. We must entrust ourselves to Jesus, who has won heaven for us. And that is what Jesus is saying. On that last day, those who are in their graves, who will hear his voice saying, come out, and will receive the new resurrection body that is fit for heaven, are those and only those who have heard the word of Jesus and believed in him, trusted in him for their sins to be forgiven. If we don't, we remain condemned still. Now come back to Lazarus. The reason that Jesus stood at the outside of that grave and in a loud voice said, Lazarus, come out, is because he was demonstrating that he can do that and he will do that. He can do it then for Lazarus, and he's proving that he will do it at the last day when the final day comes and all who are in their tombs will hear the voice of the Son of God. Lazarus being raised shows that Jesus has the power and the authority to speak to your body, to my body, and say, come out. And we will. Because Jesus did it here, we can believe confidently that he would do it then. That's a great reason why Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It's also the same reason he raised Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son. Of course, there is deep compassion in all of these resurrections because he's able to restore these people to their families again. And that's a wonderful thing. And that is what Jesus will do on the last day as well. Not only will there be a great resurrection, but there'll be a great reunion as well as we meet together with all those of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, and the great family of God will be once again united, because we feel it deeply whenever the Lord calls someone home to be with himself and we're separated from them. But it's only for a time, until the great resurrection day when Jesus calls everyone from their tombs. And there's a third reason. The third reason why the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead is because he wanted to illustrate his claim to be the giver of eternal life. This is very, very important. You see, Jesus said to Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just the resurrection, he is the life as well. He's the resurrection. Because if anyone believes in Jesus and dies, they will live again. So he's the resurrection. But he's also the life. Because if anyone lives and believes in him, they will never die. They will possess within themselves a never-dying, living soul that Jesus has given life to, eternal life. And that's what Jesus is illustrating here, because he wants to show that he can give life now. Not just physical life at the end of the age when those who are in their graves hear his voice. Not just then, but even more vitally, even more importantly, he can give you eternal life now, right now. He is the life. And so if you live and believe in him, you will possess within yourself eternal life. And this eternal life comes from Jesus. He is the one who gives it to you. He is the one who, as it were, breathes life into your dead soul and brings you to spiritual life where you were once dead. The raising of Lazarus is an illustration of this. Again, we have to go back to John chapter 5. And read from verse 24. John 5:24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come. Notice that. It has now come. Jesus can do this right now. It has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus is saying, right now, it is possible for spiritually dead men and women, boys and girls, to hear the voice of Jesus saying, live, and we live. That is what it means to be a Christian. Christian is a man, a woman, a young person who has heard the voice of Jesus saying, come to me and rest. And we come to Jesus and we put our faith in Jesus. And what do we discover? He has given us life. We were dead. We didn't realize that we were dead. But you don't realize when you're spiritually dead. You're insensitive. You can't respond to God in any way. God doesn't figure in our lives very much. Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean very much to us. But then, maybe we're in a Christian meeting. Maybe we're hearing the preaching of the gospel. It may be that we're sitting in a Sunday school class. It may be that we're reading the Bible ourselves. It may be that another Christian is talking to us and something happens. Something happens. You don't know what it is. You can't understand at first. You feel different. Something's changed. I now begin to think differently about God, about Jesus, about myself, about life, about death, heaven and hell. All these things begin to change. What has happened? You find that there is a love for the Lord Jesus in your heart that wasn't there before. You find that you do trust him. You do come to him. You realize that you're a sinner. You ask for forgiveness for your sins. You receive him into your life. What has happened? This has happened. You've heard the voice of the Son of God. And the Son of God has said to you, live. And you live. You receive eternal life. And nothing can ever be the same again. Because Jesus has come. And by raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus is saying, I can do it. I can do it. If Jesus can do something physically, how much more can he do it spiritually? Which is easiest? To say to a dead body, come out? Or to say to a dead soul, live? Which is easiest? Well, they're both impossible for us. But they are both easy for Jesus because he is the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus can do it. Has he done it for you? Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Pray that you have. And that he's brought you to a place of repentance where you've acknowledged your need of him, recognized your unworthiness, recognized your need of forgiveness. You've come to him and said, Jesus, accept me. Come into my life. And that's the voice of Jesus speaking to you when he draws you to himself. And he can do it because he did it for Lazarus. And our prayer that he will do it and has done it for every one of us.